Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf. I'm your host, Ron Kaplan. Please visit us at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf.com for the latest news, reviews, previews, and interviews on baseball books and other media. Although Will Leach does have a strong background in journalism, you might recognize his name as founding editor of Deadspin.com. Now, Deadspin is sort of a TMZ of the sports world, where the bloggers point out all the faults and flaws of who's drinking, who's messing around, and whereas Babe Ruth and more recently Mickey Mantle might have had their exploits totally ignored or maybe glossed over lightly in a laughing manner, now everything seems to be fair game. And some fans have a problem with that. They want their heroes pure, and what goes on behind closed doors should stay behind closed doors. But, on the other hand, Leach has recently published Are We Winning? Fathers and Sons in the New Golden Age of Baseball, which is actually quite a traditional book, and it harkens back to the notions of fathers passing along the joys of the national pastime to their children. The book is published by Hyperion, and I recently had a chance to chat with Leach about his work. So, Will Leach, after reading the book, I have to tell you, I don't think you're as cynical as you might like some people to think.
I'm not cynical at all. I'm not cynical. I think maybe because of the Deadspin past, there was some sort of notion of cynicism there. But you know, the general principle of Deadspin is always that sports are supposed to be fun and that they are diversion and that they're goofy. And of course, sometimes that would go in different directions. But that was always supposed to be the founding principle of Deadspin. But no, I'm a Midwestern kid, man. I'm seeing Ozzie Smith do backflips on when I was 7 years old was like, you know, the highlight of my life. I think sports is a fun place to get away from cynicism. So most of my friends would chuckle at the notion that that I'm cynical. I'm pretty much the dopiest guy you'll find around here.
Now, the subtitle is Fathers and Sons in the New Golden Age of Baseball. The Golden Age is transferable, isn't it? I mean, it's like your father might have a different Golden Age than you do, and your children, if you have at some point, might have, you know, everybody thinks their age is the Golden Age. Like you talk about the Cardinals back in the 80s. That's your Golden Age?
Yeah, of course. You know, I love the idea that I saw a great webcomic the other day where I basically had a guy talking about, like, listen, everybody knows that everything in the world is the best when you are 12. And if you're 12 right now, this is the best thing you'll ever see. And then, everything else is just based off of that idea. And certainly, you know, I think that when you look at the way that a lot of people talk about baseball now, I think it's a certain kind of human nature, whether it's baseball or film or anything or culture or anything. That the best days are behind us. We've missed something before, and you know, and baseball. I think baseball gets that more than other sports, even because I think we expect more out of baseball. You know, we nobody really minds kind of the grotesqueness that goes on in football or some of the money grabs that go on in basketball and other sports. But in baseball, it really like we're constantly disappointed in baseball. I think that speaks well to us and to baseball. Actually, I think it kind of speaks about that connection a little bit. There's all, you know, complaining about what's wrong in baseball is as part of the story tradition of baseball as loving baseball. and I think you know, you see this in the wake of whatever scandal is going on in recent years. It's been steroids. Eventually, it will be something else. But I did kind of feel like obliged to be like, you know, actually, if you really take a kind of a 10,000 feet up look at kind of what baseball is doing right now, this is a pretty good time for it.
So are you saying that baseball should be held to a higher moral standard than other sports?
I don't know. I don't think it should be, but I do know it is. And to me, that's I think it speaks to why we like it so much. You know, we expect, like I wrote about this in God Save the Fan, the book before this one, and about the idea of comparing the day after reaction to when Rafael Palmeiro was accused of being steroids. It came out that he was using steroids, and when Sean Merriman, the Chargers linebacker, was found out he was using steroids. You know, the day after the Palmeiro thing, everyone newspaper was like, this is the end of baseball's great era, it's a shame on the game, it's a stain, and so on. And with Sean Merriman, it was, okay, now the Chargers are going to have to move in to change the defensive alignment now, because they're going to have to move the corners in, and like literally, like they just like moved on, just accepted it as a part of the thing that was supposed to happen. And you know, I think that I actually like that about baseball. Like, I like that we're disappointed in baseball all the time, because it speaks to what we expect it to be and want it to be at its best.
Well, one of the podcasts I listen to most is Pardon the Interruption, and as more and more of these baseball performance-enhancing drug things comes to light, it's like, all right, so, you know, it's not as big a deal. Every time it's like a little less painful and a little less painful, and I don't, should that be the case?
I think it's more as they would say in statistical circles, a regression to the mean, if you will. I think maybe our initial reactions were a little bit too strong in a lot of ways. Certainly, you know, my analogy I always use this, because a constant question I'm asked, because I'm a Cardinals fan, is, well, what would you do if it turned out that Albert Pujols used steroids? And of course, you know, my first answer to that is like, Albert Pujols is wonderful. He would never use steroids. I think like everybody is with their own fan, but you know, with their own team and their own favorite players. But you know, I think that the general fan has a little bit better perspective on this than maybe maybe people that have covered this for so long, because you know, certainly I think from my experience, the average fan, certainly they don't like steroids. They don't want steroids to be a part of the game. They would love them to be gone. But at a certain level, you know, I do not think that sports is this needs to be this morality play in a lot of ways. And I think that the average fan, certainly they're like, oh, it's frustrating. You look at kind of what happened in the late 90s and the early aughts, and you see how statistically wise it's going to change the way we look at the game. But on the whole, you know, most fans don't actually think about all that. They think about, hey, this is a game. I enjoy the game. This is fun. This is diversion from all the difficulties I have in my everyday life. After a while, it's hard to be outraged in a lot of ways. You just kind of hope it doesn't happen to you, and you hope it doesn't happen to your guy. And, you know, I think the idea that, like, to me the sad part about the steroids thing is, you know, there's this idea like Barry Bonds did it, and Roger Clemens did it, and Rafael Palmeiro did it, and fortunately we got those guys. And the fact is, you know, this is something that's been going, you know, that surely was more prevalent than we're really aware of. And you know, after a while, you can wring your hands and say, I can't believe this has happened to the great game. I don't know if I'll ever trust again, and so on and so on. But, you know, this is, you know, that's not really, you can say that would be rational, and you could say it would be logical, but there's nothing about watching sports and watching baseball and enjoying all this that's really rational or logical. You know, we do this because we love it. We do this because we have to. And I think that if you get too caught up in that idea, I think you see this with the average fan in a lot of ways. You know, I occasionally do some TV appearances when I'm a very poor talking head occasionally, and I was asked occasionally, I'll go like, and anytime I'm ever asked usually about like MSNBC or something like that, you know, I call it my Nancy Grace rule of sports, which is that anytime a story makes it to basic cable news, actual sports fans don't like talking about it anymore. And steroids certainly has crossed that line, has hit that point. And anytime there's another steroid comes out, there come the cable news people calling, like, hey, can you comment on the stain of the game? But, you know, I think the average fan doesn't feel that way anymore. Certainly it's frustrating, and they wish it wouldn't have happened. But, you know, it's in a lot of ways it's not over, but certainly our outrage and shock about it is.
Now, your book takes a few different directions. On one hand, it's an in-game analysis of one specific game between the Cubs and Cardinals. On the other hand, it's an assessment of baseball as a whole. But it's also, in large part, about your father, Brian. When you went to the game at that point, did you envision, I'm going to write about this, I'm going to turn this into a book?
Well, you know, my original idea was actually to write about one game in general that year of 2008, and I wanted to take each chapter to talk about a different part of baseball history, how I love the idea that every pitch, every half inning, every game is a little different than every other game that's ever happened, every pitch that's ever happened, every circumstance is different, and I love the idea that one in what can often be a somewhat banal half inning. I think there's one half inning in the book where there's literally seven pitches thrown that you can actually cross that, expand that out and think about something larger about baseball and something you've seen in the past. So I wanted to structure the, I had the structure of the book, frankly, a little bit before I had the topic in a lot of ways. And so I spent most of that year looking for the right game. So I probably went to like 40, 45 games that year. So a lot of baseball games that year, looking for the right game. Never quite found the right one. And then late in the year, I started starting to get desperate. And of course, this was the year that the Cubs, you know, won the division. This was their 100th year. This seemed like this was going to be the year that they finally broke it. I think everyone thought that was happening that year. And so and as it turned out, late in the year, the Cardinals were going to be at Wrigley Field. So I called my dad, and I was like, listen, you know, I've been doing this game thing this year. And he said no, because, you know, dads don't pay attention to what the little details of what their children do. They're just like, you're alive and breathing, right? Good. Okay, keep you're making money. You have a job. Good. Okay, keep going. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I was like, Dad, you want to go to Wrigley Field? And he famously said, oh, why would I go there? There's just a bunch of Cubs fans there, which I kind of liked as a Cardinal fan idea. So part of it was for the book. Then I asked my friend Mike, who's another character in the book, who has a 3-year-old son and is trying to make him into a Cubs fan, sadly. And so once I got to that game and realized, and as it turned out, the Cubs were in a position to clinch the division that day, and I kind of think, I'm like, maybe this is the game. And then I got to thinking about how much of my connection with baseball was through my father in the way that I think a lot of people's are. And then after that, once I realized, okay, wait, this is, when I really think about what I really love about baseball, so much of it is filtered through that. And then the strain of the book, the hook to the book that I hadn't quite figured out yet, became very self-apparent.